Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am here with Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Illini guy staff writer Matt Stevens. They are coming back from covering the Illini's obliteration of a pretty good Chattanooga team, 31-0. Brad, you've covered the Illini for a while now. Well, what were your thoughts on seeing a team play this effectively and the consistency that we're seeing out of this version of the Illini?
Well, I'm extremely impressed with the defense. I mean, this team reminds me of, it sounds crazy, but it reminds me of back in that, you know, early 90s era when the defense just dominated games. And quarterbacks never felt comfortable. They stopped the running game. It was just, you know, they are dominant on the defensive end. They have not given up a touchdown in three games. I think that's the thing that you hang your hat on. But on the other side, they actually have a legitimate offense. They can do different things. I feel like they have a quarterback now who can make all the throws that they need to make. They've got some receivers who are playing up to the level that was expected of them when they got into college. And they have a dynamic running back who is legit. I mean, and this sounds crazy, but he's a legit contender to, you know, be in the top five in the Heisman race at the end of the year. He keeps putting up 100-yard games game after game.
Yeah, and they keep winning, which is really kind of a fun thing to watch as well. Matt, what are your thoughts on the consistency and what we're seeing out of this Illini team?
Well, first of all, I think that when you play an FCS team, and I'm not downgrading Chattanooga, I think they have a chance to win the national championship at the FCS level. I really, really do. When you play an FCS team, though, and you're Illinois, that's what it's supposed to look like. Yep. It's supposed to look like from about 5 minutes in, 10 minutes in, you're not supposed to have any worry about your team winning the football game. And I don't think Illinois fans had any worry when Illinois walked the ball down the field. I think it was minute and 10 seconds, you know, made it 7-0. At that moment, you realized they've already gotten a 3-and-out. They've walked the ball down the field to get a touchdown. I don't have any concern Illinois is going to win this football game. Now it's just a matter of how much, and can we get these stars that we need in Madison in 9 days off the field as quickly as possible? Can we get some guys some confidence? Mission accomplished, at least on Thursday night. And I think that's what it's supposed to look like. And I agree with everything Brad said. I mean, I haven't thought about it this far enough ahead, but yeah, I think except for, you know, the idea of him potentially being a head coach really, really soon, I think if you told me Ryan Walters is the reincarnation of Denny Marson, I would believe you. I think Illinois' last defensive coordinator that did something like this, that what he's doing is Denny Marson. I think Ryan Walters is doing something special here. We've played 12 quarters here at Memorial Stadium here in Champaign, and the opponent hasn't scored a touchdown yet. That's pretty special. You've got a defense, and I agree with Brad. You've got a defense, I think, that legitimately you could think six guys are going to end up in the NFL as draft picks on this defense. I don't know the last time that's happened. So, and then from an offensive standpoint, Tommy DeVito's been everything I think you could have imagined he needed to be, especially in the portal era that doesn't really allow for chemistry to happen early on in a season. You're seeing him get better game after game, and these coaches are seeing him get better practice after practice. That's all you can really ask. And I agree with Brad. I think if there's anybody in the Big Ten right now that's better at tailback than Chase Brown, please show him to me, because I don't believe you. That is a first team all Big Ten tailback right now. And when you have that, and you're Brett Bielema as your head coach, you're going to win some football games. And I think there's a case to be made here that if Illinois doesn't get in its own way, and it has a history and tradition of doing that recently, but if it does not do that, they have a chance to represent the West in Indianapolis on the first week of December. And I don't think that that's out of the question. And that journey starts in 9 days when Brett Bielema makes his return to Madison.
Yeah, I would say, you know, you want to go defensive coordinators, you go back to what Lou Tepper did, you know, back in the era of Simeon Rice and Kevin Hardy, you know. So Illini fans who are too young to know what we're talking about, go take a look at those defenses. They were something special. The other thing I want to tell people, of course, if you want to read Matt's stories, you want to read Brad's thoughts, you got to go to IlliniGuys.com. We have a free 7-day free trial, so you can kick the tires a little bit. But the cool thing is, on top of all the things you can read, is you can go back into the forums or the message boards, and you can actually communicate with other fans and even people like Brad and Matt. So that makes it kind of fun to go through. Brad, as we look, this offense, you know, we last year it was just kind of a train wreck. We know there were injuries to the quarterbacks. Did you think you would see an Illini offense that was under Brett Bielema that's looking to the sideline for play calls and you know, getting up to the line quick and kind of controlling pace in a different way other than using every second of the 30-second clock?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, back in the day, Nick Saban changed and he decided, you know what, we got to do these things. We got to be more offensive minded. We got to use things. Brett Bielema is evolving right in front of us. I mean, he's learning that this is the way college football is, and you have to be multidimensional. Sometimes you have to go fast. Sometimes you got to go slow. Sometimes you got to have tempo. Sometimes you got to, you know, use the clock. So he's doing both things. You know what? The thing about me with the Illinois offense is, as good as we think they've been, I feel like they have still left a lot out on the field, despite the fact, you know, we're looking at 31-0, 24-3, you know, whatever you want to say, they're winning these games handily by been putting up decent numbers. It seems like today they could have easily scored, you know, 40-plus points. Virginia could have scored 35 points or something. So they're leaving points out there. If they clean that up, what does this look like? I mean, this team could be really good.
Matt, thoughts on that?
It looks like you can compete against the big boys of the Western Division, which you've kind of not been able to do historically over the last few years. I mean, you've been able to pick off a Purdue and like pick off Minnesota like you did last year. But you were never in the ball game against Wisconsin, and you were never in the ball game, you know, against last year against Virginia. And these are the things that you can do when you have an offense that is multidimensional, like Brad said, and you have a defense that you know is going to keep you in a football game. Even when they go to Ann Arbor here in a few months, like, I don't think that this Illinois team thinks that game is going to get ridiculous to the point where they don't feel like they're in the ballgame, you know, even as good as Michigan is. And they're college football playoff good. I don't remember the last time Illinois has given up more than 24 points. I mean, and I don't remember it. It might have been the Virginia game and of last year. Is what, not this year. And so you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, I think part of the reason why this Illinois offense, I think what it looks like, Brad, is that I think that this offense can continue to get better. Again, practice to practice, from game to game. And if that happens, we already know that the defense is what it is. And I think that I personally think, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb on saying this, I don't think Barry Lunny has shown everything that this offense can do. And the reason I feel that way is that, especially in the run game, there's things they did last year that they were very successful in that they haven't shown yet. And I give Barry Lunny a lot of credit because he has decided, you know, these first four games and this first month of the season, we are going to try to be perfect in these six things that we need to do before I give you anything more in terms of a playbook. And I really applaud him for that, because he understood that Illinois wasn't very good offensively in a whole bunch of things. And so, you know, trying to rep things as many as they can, especially these zone runs that they've been doing, They just they now have a running back who's had 100-yard games in five straight games for the first time in school history. And Illinois had some pretty good running backs in this program. And I don't think they've shown everything they can do up front on the offensive line. So that group up front continues to get better. Tommy DeVito continues to get better. And like I said before, I think you have the potential of an All-American tailback in Chase Brown, whether it's a first, second, or third team selection. We can make that, we can have that argument, but you have an all Big Ten, possibly All-American tailback in Chase Brown, that over the next 2 months of this season, gentlemen, it's going to be really, really interesting, because I don't think Illinois should feel like that they're out of the ball game against anybody else they play in the West. And if they can run the table in the West, gentlemen, that's at the very least 6-2. And I think 6-2 gets you to Indy.
Yeah, and I'll harp on Brad's thing. You know, if Nick Saban can change, it's almost like you could see Rocky in the middle of that ring going, if Nick Saban could change and Brett Bielema can change, we all can change. But I'll tell you, it is something to see Brett Bielema stand on the sidelines and you're watching a team use pace and not just like bleeding every second out of the clock. And then when it's appropriate, they run it down in the fourth quarter and make it painful for UTC fans, you know, who didn't have much hope, but they're like, well, now we're really dead because they're, you know, they're just grinding the ball on us. So it is interesting to see that. Now, about the only thing that, you know, when you watch on the field that you have concerns about is what's going on with the punting. You know, obviously we don't get the press view as fans on television, so we can't get the full gamut of the punt and how high it doesn't go or how far that's a little easier for you guys to gauge in the stadium. But you guys have any thoughts? I'll let you go first, Brad. I thought Robertson was going to be a pretty good punter, and I don't know.
Well, there's no question he has talent. It's consistency. I mean, you can take him once, you know, he kicks a great punt tonight,
yeah,
when they're buried on the 1 yard line, a 49 yard with no return to put the team out to mid, you know, put them at midfield. And then he also kicked like one of the worst punts I've ever seen, 11 yards. So you know, just consistency is not there, and they're trying different things. I know they ran him out, did some, you know, like, you know, got him outside and had him kick on the move and it hit some different things, but the reality is he just has to be more consistent and get that done. And he has the talent, he has the ability to do it. He just has to get it done.
Matt, any thoughts? I'm not certain if you're a special teams guru, but you've covered enough football teams over the years.
They are trying to get Hugh out of the habit of doing the Australian rules kind of squib kick, like the running kick. And technically and mentally, it's been a hard transition for him. I will tell everybody that I think going into this game, I had more people asking me about Caleb Griffin than I did about Hugh Robertson. And my answer was, they are so much more concerned about Hugh Robertson from a technical and a mental standpoint because of the transition that they're asking him to do than they're ever worried about Caleb Griffin. Caleb Griffin, they figure, can figure out it. Like Sean Snyder knows how to figure out a kicker. Sean Snyder was an All-American punter himself at Iowa. You think he'd be able to turn around Hugh, but they're asking him to do it's like changing a golf swing, and they're asking Hugh to do something different just so they can get a punt off quicker. And they, you know, a lot of people saw, you know, the Blake Hayes run and kick that he would do sometimes. Sean Snyder's asking him to do something different and a little bit more conventional. A little bit more air hang time, a little bit less, you know, roll and all that kind of thing. They're just asking him to do something different. And when you do that, guess what? You know, you're gonna have like any other, like any, I compare it again. I tend to compare special teams to golf a lot. Hugh has now three swings that he would like to have back, two in Bloomington and now one here. That's got to get cleaned up. And I don't know whether it can or won't consistently, but you know that it's there. And so, again, I think anybody that came out of September really concerned about Caleb Griffin, I will tell you again, they are more concerned about punting than they ever are about place kicking or kickoffs. And they do feel like they have a guy in Sean Snyder that can get him figured out. but they cannot afford in Madison to have, you know, a kick. No, yeah, like the 11-yarder on Thursday night, the two kicks that he had in Bloomington off the side of the foot. You cannot do that. Not on the road, not against Wisconsin. That can't happen. And that's part of, is Illinois going to get in its own way? And so, yeah, I think that's the only thing you come away concerned with. And I think going forward, when you play teams that you're going to need to beat in the Western Division, you've got to at least be clean. You don't have to be great. You know, like Blake Hayes was first team all Big Ten punter. You just got to be clean. And what Blake did with the 11-yard punt, that's basically a turnover. And you can't have that in big time games. And you got one coming up in 9 days.
Yep. Well, and it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, your heart goes out to the kid because you know he's not trying to do that. It's not like the time that Joe Theismann, you know, got so mad at everybody that he went out and punted against the Bears and got no yards. That was funny. So the other thing, folks, is you guys have heard us bring up a couple times John Makovic. John's going to be the one of the guests on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. And we have a interview with him that is fascinating. He was one of the greatest guests we've had on our show that's been going for over a year now. So make sure you go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, take a look at the cities that we're on. We're on in 20 cities with 30 signals, and see what day, either Friday or Saturday, and what time we're on. At the station nearest you, go ahead and take a listen to it. You'll be glad you did. And call up your radio station and let them know that you appreciate the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular being on the air. That means a big deal to us. And it also lets them know that their fans and their listeners are happy with their choices. So, Brad, we've got an extra weekend here for the team. And then they go up to Madison. You've coached and got a lot of state titles for your teams. What are you telling this team to get ready to play probably the toughest team they've played this year in the toughest venue that they've played this year against a team that's going to have Barry Alvarez screaming at him about how Brett Bielema betrayed the university and left. So how, if you're Coach B, what are you telling your team to get them ready for this next game?
Well, I mean, I think the game, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about Brett going back to Wisconsin. I think the most important thing for him is focusing on the game itself, you know, just playing the game and execution and doing the little things, the details as they prep for this game. It can't be about Brett Bielema going back to Wisconsin. It can't be about Brett versus Barry. None of that stuff is going to matter once the game starts. So in the lead up, you got to focus on things that are going to matter. And that's, you know, ball security. That's, you know, making the right reads. That's, you know, all those things that not shanking punts, those, you know, just having the right mental focus and executing is going to determine who wins that game. And because I don't think that Wisconsin is more talented than Illinois. I know it sounds crazy to say, but I don't think they are. So it's going to be very interesting to see if Illinois can just, you know, battle enough and hang around and find a way to pull that out at the end up there in Madison.
Matt, any thoughts from you on that?
I was really interested after this 31-0 win over Chattanooga. Brett detailed the idea that there have been several networks probably affiliated with the conference that have wanted to basically follow Brett this entire 9 days now. And until he makes the return to the opposing sideline at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, and he's turned them all down. And I've made the joke before, and I'll continue to make it that there isn't a camera or a television network that Brett Bielema hasn't done a favor for. So for him to turn that down, I think he understands the importance of what this game is. And what by that, I mean, I think he thinks that he has a football team that can go to Camp Randall and win. And why would I want to distract from my team with me? And I think that's the first thing that that's the first time you're starting to see Brett Bielema go, guys, this isn't about me. This rebuild is not about me. It's about you. And it's about you going and getting a victory. And Brad's 100% right. I think when you look at it from a matchup standpoint, Illinois' defense is not out-talented by Wisconsin's offense. It's just not. And I don't believe that Illinois' offense is severely deficient. And they might be out-talented, but they're not severely deficient when it comes to Wisconsin's defense. So I think the main thing that you got to fit, which you got to tell your guys, if you're Brett Bielema and you're these position coaches at Illinois, is that everything's going to be hard. And what do I mean by that is that if you're on the offensive side of the ball and you get 4 yards on a play, that's a victory because it's going to be hard. Guys, point, I could be completely wrong, and it turns out to be a shootout on October 1st, and I'll come back up, raise my hand, and go, yep, I was an idiot. But I think points are going to be at a premium. I don't think either one of these defenses is going to do anything but what they've all done. And Jimmy Leonard can coach some defense, and we know Ryan Walters can too, and they both have players. And so I think points are going to be at a premium and everything's going to be hard. And I think that this is going to be the first time, quite frankly, that Illinois is going to be in a four-quarter game where physically they're going to be asked to do some things that I don't think they've been asked to do. And I know they were in a four-quarter game at Indiana, but from a physicality standpoint, it isn't going to be nearly the same ball game in Bloomington as it's going to be in Madison. So I think you have to be physically up to the challenge. And you have to understand that everything's going to be hard. Everything is going to be difficult to get, and wins are going to have to come at a different level of expectation. And so moving the football is going to be hard. Special teams is going to be at a premium. And so all of these little things that I think that both of these teams, especially Illinois, have been working on since the summer, are going to come into play on October 1st, and we'll just see who makes the least amount of mistakes, because I think the team that does that is going to emerge from Madison with a victory, and I'm not entirely sure who that team is just yet.
So it sets us up for a great week. By the way, next week you'll have the Eye on the Illini. We'll do a preview with some Wisconsin folks, give you an idea of what the team is going into. Of course, we also have Sturdy for 30, which is the award-winning podcast. It's the flagship of our brand. And we also have Ked's Recruiting Roundup. So look for our podcast. Even better, we have two radio shows, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular and the Big Sports Radio Show, which is a Big Ten show. Get you ready for everything. Those drop at 12 noon on Saturdays. So after all of our stations have run the show, we put it out there for people to listen to. Please listen to those podcasts, and they will get you all ready for the sports weekend. Brad, any final thoughts after this victory tonight?
I think Illinois goes into an October where they're looking at a chance to go 4-0. Also, they have a chance to go 0-4. And I think this is fun. I mean, they got a chance to win every game in October. And I'm not sure that if they win the one on October 1st, they won't be favored in the next three. So this is Illinois has an opportunity here to make a statement. Brett Bielema era could be really on some crazy ground. And, man, you go 3-1 or 4-0 in October, and you're really starting to get noticed. And those November games become a lot of fun.
Yeah, and if I'm watching them throw the ball like this, and I'm seeing guys like Newton and Randolph looked at by the NFL, if I'm a defensive lineman, I'm thinking, hey, man, maybe I should be going to get coached up by this staff. Let's hope they have a successful October that'll set them up on the recruiting trail as well. Matt, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, we haven't mentioned somebody, and I think it was a breakout, show the world type of performance. And his name is Patrick Bryant. There is a dynamic to this Illinois offense that just wasn't there last year. And I think he is a major part of why. When you add the vertical passing game to what Barry Lunny wants to do with the bubble stuff with Isaiah and the run game of Chase Brown, we went into this season, guys, not knowing who was going to provide the vertical passing game, because this wide receiver room was just so devoid of talent, or at least void of experience.
Yeah.
Pat Bryant might be that guy. And if he is that guy and he can do that consistently, then it allows Barry Lunny to just have so much more freedom, and allows Tommy DeVito to have so much more freedom with what they want to do. This is a young man who I think can have a really bright future at Illinois. as potentially the, you know, the breakout performer of this game. We didn't learn much from this, you know, 4-hour excursion on Thursday night, other than Illinois is significantly better than probably everybody in FCS. Yay. But we also learned that Patrick Bryant might be a breakout player on this offense from a position group where it was desperately needed. And I think that his performance tonight is an indication of the confidence of not only himself, but also that Tommy DeVito has in him. And I think going forward, he's going to be not only needed, but I think could provide a big, big bolt of energy for this Illinois offense and this Illinois passing game. And he's going to be really, really needed over these next, like Brad said, these next four games in October, because, you know, you're not, if you can get to a point where defenses don't have to stack the box with 8 or 9 guys because they don't think that they can cover Pat Bryant one-on-one all the time, then Illinois has done their job and Pat Bryant's done his job as a 19-year-old sophomore. And I think that the future is so bright for that young man from Jacksonville that he is providing Barry Lunney with so much that he can't even describe right now, because you saw how Isaiah is able to perform when that element is there, and you saw how the running game is able to perform when that element is there. This is a breakout game for that young man, and I think he should be really proud of himself.
Yeah, and it's amazing that the Fighting Illini over all the years have never had two guys get over 100 yards of passing receiving or pass receiving yards with, and along with a running back over 100. And that's yeah. just amazing to me when you think of the high-powered offenses of the 80s that were passing-based, just didn't think that was even something that had never been done before. So we saw today that the Illini really kind of came out and showed a good amount of discipline. In the past, you know, we've seen Illini teams that were uber-talented who went ahead and they were, you know, they you know, I go back to 1986 85, I guess, when they played SIU and almost lost to SIU at the very end. And that was a team that had a lot of talent, but maybe didn't batten down and get disciplined when they needed to. And here we have a team that took care of business the way they're supposed to. So before we close out, we've got another reporter here, Kedrick Prince, director of recruiting for Illini Guys. Ked, we're just wrapping up the podcast here, and I know that you've been out and about. Give us an idea of what your thoughts were on the game, and what takeaways should the fans have from what they saw tonight.
Just be real quick. Thanks for having me. I really think it's important that the fans understand, and you know, all games are important, and you don't take wins for granted. Because years ago, and I don't know if this has been talked about or not, but years ago, Illinois would struggle with teams like this. They didn't put up 60 points, but they did what they were supposed to. They won the game, and they were in control of the game the entire time. The second thing is, I know this is not a popular thing to say, but, you know, I really wish, you asked about the fans, I just hope they come out and support the team. The day Brett Bielema got hired, I was a fan because they needed to find a college football coach who could build a consistent winner. And I think he's slowly doing that. I think this is not a one-year wonder. Illinois is just going to be really competitive from here on out and just do what Wisconsin did. They're just going to, you know, I've heard Matt mention this before. They're not going to just come out and, you know, and run a shotgun and throw the ball all the time, but they're going to win football games and play defense, and then they're going to dare you to beat them. And I think that's what he's doing in Illinois.
Yeah, this has been good. Anything we talked a little bit, and maybe you have some knowledge, but as the year gets better, you know, and if they keep winning games, and this month will be a bear at the same time, 4 of their next 6 games are at home. They play some tough teams, but they have the opportunity to do well. Anything on the recruiting front? Do you think there's opportunity, you know, to attract some talent or flip some talent who might have chose to go somewhere else?
The one thing about football that I've never been a fan of, it doesn't happen in basketball. A kid commits, but that doesn't really mean anything. It's easy for kids to decommit, you know, and I know they've, you know, they were on the junior college trail looking at some kids last week that they're hoping to flip. But I really think, Mike, I think depth. I mean, he mentioned, you know, before the bye week that they're really thin, you know, in certain positions, and I think he means the line. They really, really have to beef up their offensive line, and you can't do that with freshmen. I mean, I'm really sorry. I mean, it's just tough to do. You know, you can do that if you're on the end or something, or maybe the cornerbacks and things like that, but they're just really thin. And I think they're going to have to get the junior college route, or maybe that transfer portal has to be huge for them, because they're just not going to be able to do it and be continue to be successful. This 22 class that they have, yes, they're going to be good, but it's hard to play freshmen at the line. That's probably the one position in college football and college athletics that I think you can't get away with true freshmen. So they're going to be in the transfer portal a lot. I know that. And I know they're going to look for the junior college route. A lot of those kids are already going to be committed. So, but I know that's going to be important to them. Last year, they were able to get a good quarterback, which we have. But for the most part, it's going to be the portal.
Yeah, and I keep thinking with, you know, Newton and Randolph, you know, and Bielma's history of putting offensive linemen in the NFL. If I was a lineman on either side of the ball, I would really be looking at this Illinois program as a place to go.
It's an easy sell. Very, very easy sell.
Yeah, I would. One would think so, because the bottom line is you know, you talk about, you know, getting guys to the NFL. That's what a lot of these guys in reality is. They're there for that as much as they are to get their college degree. And they're, you know, it is what it is. Any final thoughts, Ked, as we kind of wrap up this podcast here? The anything that you saw tonight that you wanted to talk about?
Just real briefly. I Barry Lunny Jr. was awesome. I love the play calling. I thought that was amazing. I think their schedule was tough, but I think, you know, it all starts next week with Wisconsin, but we're going to see how good they are. And, you know, I do think this is a bowl team. You know, I said that at the start of the season, but in closing, and not to, you know, rehash things that were probably already said, I do think this team can win 7 games minimum. They have to stay healthy, but I mean, I'm just looking long-term. I mean, I'm just really, really impressed. I mean, it's just nice to see Illinois compete in football, because like I said to you earlier, you know, 5-6 years ago, this would have been a 21-17 win or 21-14. And I just think they're taking care of business. And it's nice to see the football program turned around, even though it's still early.
Yeah. Well, I'm ever the optimist. So if we can close out the season, you know, only losing to Michigan, I can handle a 10-2 season and go into play whoever's over there. And
Yeah, 10-2 works for you, Mike Cagley.
That'll work for me.
That's fine.
That'll work for me. You know, Ohio State, that gets a coach like fired, but you know what? 10-2 is just fine.
Well, yeah, I heard the Ohio State coach Ryan Day say in Indianapolis that 10-2 is not acceptable in Columbus. So
yeah, well, they went 11-2 last year. And it was a right. Bad year. Yeah, it was funny. By the way, do you know how many times an Illinois team has won 11 games?
Yeah, but I know you're going to tell me.
0.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So
I will say, as a final thought, I will say this, guys, is that in December 2020, Brett Bielema sat in his car on college game day and said exactly what this program's going to look like. They were going to run a 3-4 defense that was going to go get the quarterback. They have a 3-4 defense that goes and gets the quarterback. And they were going to run a tempo offense, a tempo RPO-based offense. They have a tempo RPO-based offense. I mean, and it's not perfect, and nobody would claim that it is right now. And Barry Lunny would be the first one to tell you it's not perfect. Tommy DeVito would be the first one to tell you it's not perfect. But everything that Brett Bielema said while he was sitting in his car on college game day, live on college game day, like in December of 2020, is starting to come to fruition here at Illinois. And if it doesn't happen this year, it's going to happen at some point, because that guy has a plan. And like I've said before, he has a tomorrow plan, a three-month plan, a 1-year plan, and a 5-year plan. And he hasn't gotten off of it since that day he was sitting in his car. And I think that's pretty admirable for a coach to have at least that kind of, courage to sit there and say, look, this is my plan. And you're going to have to trust me on this. And you're starting to see that. And through 16 games, God help us all, he's the first head coach to be 500 since John McAfee. So something's working here in Champaign. And I think you're going to start to see a lot more work here over the next few months.
Yeah, I agree with you. Anything else, kid?
No, that's it, guys.
Perfect. I appreciate you staying up this late. We wanted to get this out there for Illini guys fans. Matt, I know you've still got a long trek back over to the home base. So for you listeners, thank you so much for listening. Again, IlliniGuys.com. You can go ahead. It's a 7-day free trial, $99 a year. And you can get a chance to get all access to all of our information, all of our content. But the thing that makes it really cool is you can go back in the message boards or forums, however you want to term it. And you can go back there and leave messages and read what other fans are saying, read what Brad is saying, read what Ked is saying or Matt's saying. And then you can ask them questions or you can say, what about this? And so you can have contact with the people that you read. It's a lot different than, just your typical subscription to a website that they just put out content and you passively read it. You can actually get involved. So with that, everybody, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know about everything Illini. Thank you very much. Go Illini.